Lunchtime.
So they say. How's it going, man?
So I say.
I feel like I'm a little too big now.
I can bring you down a little.
Bring me down. Bring me down, Jim. Don't bring me down.
I thought that was the opposite of what you wanted. Maybe I was just too small. Did you ever think of that?
Could be.
How's that?
Got full face setup. Sure.
Okay.
Get rid of that streamer mode thing at the top and
move
me up, because yeah, I think
now
you
just
up,
made you bigger. Shit.
God damn it.
Staying this big. I hate to tell you.
All right. Awesome. We're the real scale model. There's a couple of
you can obsess over your image here, man.
No, there's a couple of wrinkles since you've moved studios. Like, I used to be able to read the chat nice and clear when you send it through my screen, and it's like blurry as fuck. Can you guys read it? Does it seem okay on your side? Can you read the chat on the screen?
Are you full screen? Is it like
I am full screen? Yeah.
Oh, weird.
I just shut down the window because there was anyway. There's been a bunch of confusion. Who cares? It's a boring show. Welcome to lunch, everybody. We are here to celebrate yet another lunch. Successful lunch.
It's true. Yet to be seen. Or are you talking about last week?
I don't know. Which lunch am I talking about? We got two more lunches, and then Jim's going to go on vacation a week after Groundhog Day, which means we are officially 2 weeks and one day away. 2 weeks and 23 hours away from the kickoff of the annual Groundhog's Day extravaganza celebration. Once again, we're going to raise as much money as we possibly can for the Cures Alzheimer's Foundation. We're going to do a James Bond marathon. We're going to watch at least two of every Bond, except for Lazenby, who only graced us with one. We're going to be giving away James Bond DVD or Blu-ray collections.
Mm-hmm.
For fans, I heard back from Chase Stone the other day. He's going to donate some Magic the Gathering booster boxes. He got one from a set that hasn't even been released yet, and one from the current set. If you're a Magic the Gathering fan, that's a hell of a value. And also, he's going to do some original like proofs of his Magic the Gathering art. Some really cool opportunities to support a good cause and get something cool in return.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Yeah. I think our prizes are great this year. Not giving away random shit from our office.
Yeah. Yeah. So we should have some cool stuff to give away. We should have some good times watching James. I haven't seen all of these James Bonds.
I've seen few of them.
Hardly any of them. It should be a really good time. It always is. We now live next to each other, so there's the opportunity to raid each other's houses. You know, reprisals, who knows what kind of I can sneak up on him with a Nerf gun and
execute him. You're gonna have to break an inner to get into my place, my studio.
Not a big challenge for a super secret agent like me. Double O Aaron gonna roll in with his I don't know what's James Bond use. He probably likes have you ever seen James Bond pick a lock?
Well, I have that high tech automatic lock on my front door or the code.
Oh, I'll just hack that shit with my cell phone.
Right? You could use a fingerprint dusting kit and know exactly which buttons to push.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Or I could social engineer. I could just ask your wife, hey, what's your door code?
Yeah, she'd give it
to you. You guys have keys to our house. Like, this is some asymmetrical warfare type shit. I'm going to revoke your credentials
before your place.
This is getting serious now. Yeah. What do we want to talk about before we get to the people's questions?
I've got a big project coming up. Aside from moving, right? Like, I feel like moving into a house is the tip of the iceberg
to itself. Yeah.
Yeah. So you move into the home. Well, here's the thing. We took all of our stuff that was in our apartment. We moved it in here. I feel like we have just got it almost organized, though I haven't found a great setup for my studio yet. Tomorrow we're going to the storage unit to bring the other half of the shit that we own and load it into the house. and then we have to organize all that. And then what I want to do is go through this house and either rid it of its coax infestation or potentially just augment the coax with Ethernet. Either way, I want Ethernet running through this house, but I can't decide if I want to keep the coax or not.
Is the coax running through the walls, or is, because like all of the coax on my is ran on the outside of my house?
So there is
one actually going
that goes outside. Actually, they all go outside at some point, but there's a big like fat bundle of wire coax that comes in through my foundation and then up into all the rooms. So it does run through the wall mostly.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. Because mine's the opposite. I've got that big, big trunk, but it runs outside and then goes through like snakes under the like where the my foundation meets like the house part. It like hugs that and then like just shoots up at a 90 degree angle to go into rooms.
Huh. You know? Okay.
It's like all over the outside. Shit, that might be super
easier for you to run.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you just could just replace the wire. You wouldn't have to pull so much as just you know, poke it through the last mile there.
Because I am worried.
I've been thinking, as your project goes, I'm probably going to do the same thing a couple months behind because I'm probably going to move my studio upstairs long term, and I can't rely on Wi-Fi. Can't rely on Wi-Fi when you're streaming. No. Got to have a hard connection. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I prefer to be physically connected for basically everything. Like even on my PlayStation and stuff, I prefer it. Because I've just never had Wi-Fi work 100% of the time, whereas Ethernet, it just works.
Yeah, yeah. And Wi-Fi, I think it's pretty stable. Like, but for things like gaming and streaming, it's just you can't beat the reliability of a physical wire connect. Especially with these old houses with thick plaster, you can get some really weird dead spots and
true
kind of shitty areas. So, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, trouble is I got 3 floors here. So I pretty much have to use the coax to run all this stuff, like use, you know, tape the Ethernet to the end of the coax, pull the coax through. I'm debating on whether or not to try to pull the coax back through once I do that. Like instead of just pulling Ethernet, pull like two strands of Ethernet and use one to pull the coax back just to leave the coax in place for anybody in the future who might want cable television.
Oh,
but like,
yeah,
why
I
would
guess.
You?
Yeah, I don't know. It just depends. I can't like imagine that being a make or break. Because like I removed a lot of the old plain old telephone line stuff because it was like snaking all over my basement.
Fuck it. And no one's like, ever gonna use telephone again.
And if someone wants to, they can fucking like I left the telephone company shit untouched. But like I ripped a lot of plain old telephone wire out and replaced all that stuff with other things.
And if you find the one weirdo in like 2037 who still wants a landline telephone, they can buy the house next door. Like,
yeah, yeah. Or run it, you know, like, yeah, it's not that big a deal.
Sure, that too. Yeah, no, I'm seriously thinking about just pulling the coax out because it'd be so much easier than having to pull two directions.
Look at all the felons in chat we got.
I know.
You know, Chocolate Mike, the old school pick lock picks work really well.
They do.
Tony. Oh, yeah. I've picked hundreds of house locks. Super easy. I hope you guys are all locksmiths. I know it's the lock picking lawyer is like real famous on YouTube. It's it's a hobby, right, to get into. And yeah, most residential locks are horrifically unsecure, insecure, not secure.
Yeah, I've picked a couple of front door locks in my time, but they were all mine. Like I'm allowed to pick my own locks. I just did it for fun.
Highly offended, saying lockpickers have a high level of ethics, for what it's worth. So
lockpickers,
white hat hackers. Sure.
I've seen the Italian Job. I've seen Ocean's movies. Not all of them.
Powers can be used for good and evil. We'll say that. What do you want? Because I don't have a lot. Because like my week has been thrown into complete chaos by my son's school district canceling in-person classes. They went remote for the rest of this week, which really threw. So I just been kind of like scrambling to keep up with all my, you know, getting my daily walks in and getting the bald move stuff done. And suddenly having to, you just have a completely different routine from what I was expecting. So I haven't had a lot of actually cool things that have happened to me since we've had the lunch. So we thought maybe because we had a ton of things we want to talk about in the last OTC and we ended up having time to do Station 11 and then Jettison. Do you want to kind of like do a big last month catch up for all the stuff that we... there's a couple things. There's an OTC coming out next week, and we're going to talk about the end of Station 11. We're going to talk about, for sure, Peacemaker and probably Righteous Gemstones. But there's a whole bunch of stuff we hadn't gotten a chance to talk about. Do you want to, like, you know, do a roundup of that real quick before we get to people's questions? Or,
Yeah. I had a lot of games on that list because I played a bunch, not a ton of games, but I played through a couple of games over our break. Not as many as I wanted to. A short one, a longer one, an older one, a newer one.
All right, we'll start there. I got the topics from the OTC. So we've got, go ahead and talk about the video game stuff up front if you'd like.
Okay. I played Halo Infinite. That's a pretty cool game. I like Halo's style.
Yeah.
I'm not a big energy weapons guy. I tend to stick to, like, I really love hit scan weapons, like stuff that you just aim, shoot, and it hits wherever you point it. And these are not that, right? These are like, although they do a lot of aim assist
of like
stuff.
Battle rifles, sniper rifle stuff, don't they?
They do, yeah. Hit they scan? Have some more traditional type weapons, yeah. And so I tend to stick to those. But Halo Infinite's campaign is pretty good. I didn't play any online stuff because I'm not really an online shooter guy anymore. Too old for that shit. But I enjoyed the...
Do you really think you are, or is just you don't? Because, like, when I got into Destiny and I got into its multiplayer, I got to where I was getting, you know, I'm never going to be a top 1% player, but I was probably cracking a top 10% and feeling like I was enjoying myself. Like, there would be multiple matches I'd feel like I was dominating. And then, you know, every once in a while, I'd come across a real elite guy and he'd curb stomp me. But I found that, like... It was hard on my ego to go through the suck phase. You know, it's like the first couple times where you're just getting blown out. Like your kill to death ratio is 0.08 or something. Like it's just you know, because I still remember what it was like to be a badass. It must be like an old time, like a 55-year-old NBA player, like wanting to go to the park and shoot around. And like, yeah, I used to. And then they're just like kicking, you know, all these 18, 19-year-olds are just kicking your ass. Because you can't even make up the physical gap with your guile and so.
Right. Your experience. No,
you're just done? Or do you think that, like, if you found the right game, you'd, like, work up the skill set?
I don't know. It's more of a hit to my schedule. It's like, am I going to spend... Because when I was really good at these games, I would spend the time I came home from work to, like, 2 in the morning doing nothing but playing the game. And I got phenomenally good at games like Counter-Strike. Yeah. I've got other things I want to do now, right? I've got projects to work on the house. I want to write some stuff. I want to read some stuff and watch some stuff. And
yeah,
I just don't devote all my time to games anymore. I might be able to get okay at a game, but I definitely don't want to spend the time it would take to do that.
I felt like, I think I talked about this on Lunch at a Time, but when I was getting good at Destiny, I was following this guy named Imtash, and he was saying that, like, there's the secret for the top layer level players is they don't play a ton. Well, I mean, they probably do for Twitch streamers, but like any professional athlete, they review their performances. So he was a big advocate for recording all of your gameplay, like play an hour and then spend an hour reviewing your gameplay and like isolating your biggest mistake of the session and trying to eliminate that in the next one. So I went through and I tried to like, okay, because like, yeah, I don't have infinite time. I can't like grind 12 hours a day like I could when I was a teenager.
Right.
And that works surprisingly well. If you play an hour a day and then spend like a half hour, 45 minutes like watching your matches and being like, oh man, look, I keep biting for this particular thing or my move, you know, I'm not ducking and sliding as much and work on that. Like it feels like the same kind of effort of playing for 8 hours.
Okay.
And I also thought that would be a cool like Twitch segment too, to like, you know, the dad gamer that is like trying to with film footage and review and stuff like get better rather than just grinding. But
yeah. And then have your son do none of that. Have him just play the game and see if he can kick your ass.
Yeah, last year was where, like, I used to be able to beat him just by smarts, you know, just, like, bait him and, like, take advantage of his inexperience and
now
and
he probably laughs to kill at me. You. Like, you think that's going to work on me?
Yeah, it's a tragedy, me trying to, like, he's, like, a hardcore Tarkov player now. Like, right. He just, like, eats me alive. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Turns out those skills do fade, for sure.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel like I'm as snappy with a mouse anymore. But yeah, I don't know. So I play a lot of single player games. I play a lot of logistics games because I really enjoy the challenge of like, okay, how do I optimize the system, right? And it's, I guess that's kind of what you're talking about with analyzing your own play. You're doing that except on a real time sort of thing. But yeah, Halo Infinite was fun. I played this really cool game. I also beat Into the Breach, which I had never beat. I had played. We actually played that on stream a couple times.
Yeah, that's the kaiju versus giant robot game, and you play the giant robots.
It's like a turn-based strategy.
Like on a chessboard that's like looks like a cityscape or a countryscape.
Yeah, and each type of enemy has a certain defined set of moves that they do. And they tell you ahead of time exactly what they're going to do, and you have to figure out a way to essentially nullify all the problems they're creating with your limited set of moves. And yeah, I found that game super fun. Talk about logistics. That's that to a T. And then I played a really interesting, cool, short game called Unpacking, which... I don't know, maybe like in the throes of packing all of our shit and moving all of our shit, I was like, I just want to be to the part where I'm done with this and I'm just unpacking all the stuff, right? That's the easy part, the fun part. And so I played this game Unpacking. I heard Giant Bomb and Nextlander talk about it, and I was interested in it. So the premise here is you are a girl who is... Well, okay, so... The idea, the way this game plays out is it presents you with a room and boxes full of stuff. And you open the boxes, you take the stuff out one piece by piece, and you arrange it in the room. And that's all the game is.
Okay.
But it tells this like really interesting, sometimes sad, sometimes heartwarming story about a girl's life as she grows up. With each move that she does, and every time you unpack a room or a house full of stuff, you can kind of get a like a meta view into her life, right? Like, what things has she kept from her previous apartment? What kind of place is she moving into? Oh, this is clearly like a masculine apartment that's you know, got a lot of grays and shit in it, and then she's moving into that place. Oh, she got a live-in boyfriend, right? Or she's moving in with her boyfriend. Oh no, the next stage is she's back in her parents' her old bedroom from her parents' house. Clearly something went wrong there, right? And like, oh shit, she lost half her stuff in the move because like I put the DVDs over with his DVDs. Now I don't have my DVD anymore. Like there's a lot of just really cool storytelling around the edges in this game where all you do is unpack stuff from a box and put it on shelves.
I mean,
it sounds
it's
stupid,
clearly
right?
A hook there and it's interesting, but like, yeah, like the emergent gameplay sounds interesting. I just can't imagine like unpacking and decorating a room like that being the core mechanic of it. Doesn't sound interesting.
Like it's just like a Zen thing.
Really dig it.
It's not like, oh, I'm getting super into this. It's more like I've got some hours to kill, and I think this is like. I'm just getting zoned in on doing a thing that's very simple.
Although I gotta say that, like, I watched Cecily play Animal Crossing, whatever that the island, and like the real game of that is decorating your shit and like arranging things and making it look nice. And so, like, I guess it makes sense from that perspective.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was super cute, and I really appreciated the meta storytelling of it. And it's cheap; it's like $20 or something, and it's only a few hours long, depending on how long you take unpacking, I guess, but. Yeah, that's cool.
I played a video game all the way through, too. It's a 10-year-old game called Space Marine. I got excited about the impending Space Marine 2. This is like seen as like one of... There's a lot of terrible Warhammer video games. There's a few that are good, like Dawn of War is supposed to be really good. There's a Total War that's like from the Mechanicus perspective. And then they always hear about Space Marine. I heard about Space Marine 2 and I wanted to get into that. And I got the 10th anniversary edition that has like updated graphics and textures and played it. And it was a lot of fun. It's only like a 10 hours, but it's really felt like being in the universe, stomping around as a giant Space Marine, just hack. Yeah, you got like a really strong melee game, you know. You also have like a ranged attack too, so like you just have these hordes and hordes of orcs and chaos Space Marines pouring at you, and you're just dispatching them. And it has like, there's a lot of ahead of its time things for this game. Like, you had a set loadout, like you could have a particular type of bolter as your gun, and you had like one heavy weapon and then one melee weapon, and they all did slightly different things. And then there was different places where you could swap that out. But like for large sections of the game, you had to like make do with whatever weapons you had. I thought that was cool. And also it had like a very rudimentary Doom style. You had no way to recover your health other than doing special execution type kills on your enemies.
Yeah, that's cool.
So you'd have to get them to a certain level of health, and then they have a symbol above their head. Then you'd go and like saw them in half with your chainsword or whatever, because you have those in Warhammer.
Sure.
Chainsaw swords. And you get your health back. But the wrinkle is usually like in Doom when you're like splitting the demon's head in half, like time kind of pauses. In this game, like if you are like 10% of your health and you go to like saw somebody in half and you take 11% more damage before it's done, you die.
Oh,
so there's a
God.
Little bit of like having to, wait into combat to restore your health, but also do it in a way that wasn't going to kill you. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Absolutely no cover. It was a strategic decision in the game that like Space Marines don't do that. So there's no way to crouch or hide. You just are stomping like this 10-foot dude stomping around, soaking up all the bullets. But it told a pretty good story for Warhammer perspectives. And like some people complained about how large the spaces are. Like there's a lot of hallway walking and stuff. But I thought that was like appropriate to the scale of the universe. Like stomping around a big empty cathedral and every once in a while getting ambushed by orcs and demons and whatnot. So it lasts about 10 hours, and that was about exactly as long. I guess I had a multiplayer like co-op and like horde mode that is completely abandoned now. So I'm curious when the new game comes out. I'm really really excited to see like what the new graphics and stuff look like. So that was fun.
That game is how old now?
It's 10 years. It's the 10 year anniversary just came out, which means I get to pay $60. If if I bought it at year nine, I probably got it gotten it for $299, but I got to pay full freight for it.
I got, I was just sent a good old gamers, GOG, great games, whatever it's called, a GOG code for that Mechanicus game, like a discount code.
Everyone says that's one of the good ones. I kind of am interested in playing that.
Give you the code or give you the game, because I know there's no DRM on the GOG stuff.
Yeah, Freddy, I don't know if it's the same game you're talking about, but yeah, like all the door panel, like that's one thing it's similar to the Dune universe, because, you know, Warhammer is a lot of like, you know, Dune cranked up to 11, but they had like in their ancient history, they had a huge war against artificial intelligences and robots. So like they've essentially banned what they call abominable intelligences. So like every bit of automation in the Warhammer universe is human. Usually in the form of what they called servitors, which are lobotomized humans that just do shit. So like if you go up to a door, there'll be like a skull with like one functional eyeball and like wires and feeding tubes taken into it. And like it recognizes you and opens it. It's some and they had some like really creepy servitors in the game, too. Like, you know, like servitors done right are like Borg shuffling around and all and like. That's one of the hallmarks of the setting is like these creepy cyborg zombies that are just shuffling around doing all the stuff and no one pays them any attention because why would you? It's like, you know, worrying about a Roomba or something. But yeah, it's cool. Really, really nailed the aesthetic.
Yeah, sounds cool.
What about any television stuff?
I don't know. What did I watch?
I'll start. I watched Witcher Season 2. I might have talked about this on lunch. I'll keep it brief. I didn't like it. I thought Witcher Season 2 was a step back in almost every way. less monster fights, but bigger, more impactful ones. Less magic, because one of the big plot lines was one of the major magic characters completely depowered, so they like they didn't have any ability to. And there's a lot of, I don't know. It felt like a smaller like it felt like one of those seasons where it's like, didn't we talk about this in Westworld, where like season two should have been like half of a season, because there just wasn't enough story, and they weren't ready to get into the actual story. So this is a transition season, and it suffered from it a lot. The main cast is still great. I still love Henry Cavill as Geralt. He does such a great job. He's so iconic in that role. They fix some of the problems, like the stupid butthole armor that the MILF guardians were wearing last, like they actually wearing. Fuck. Yeah, it looks like beef jerky butthole armor they were wearing.
The MILF Guardians?
The MILF Guardians, yeah. I think they're called Nilfgaard, but I always call them Nilfgaard because, of course.
All right. I haven't seen this show. The terminology is very interesting.
Yeah. But I thought it was unfortunately weaker than the season one, and I probably won't be. I had big plans to cover it with Alexis, and I don't think we're going to do that now, because it would be a bummer for all concerned. I watched all of MacGruber, which, if you like the movie MacGruber, I highly recommend it. If you did not like it or haven't seen it, I don't, because it's just lots more MacGruber.
Okay. It's probably exactly what a MacGruber series should have been. More MacGruber.
Yeah, instead of who was it playing? God damn it. Why can't I think of this guy's name? Val Kilmer. Instead of Val Kilmer playing Victor Dieter von Kunth, you had God damn it, Billy Zane playing a guy named Queef. That was the big bad of this series. So it's that kind of humor. But I like Will Forte, and the cast there does, I think, a pretty good job.
Gotcha.
The new season, Always Sunny, is another one where like they're still hitting all the comedy notes, but they also like they've done in the last few seasons, they have at least one scene where, like, in this case, Charlie Day, is that his real name?
I think so. Yeah.
It's Charlie something else in the series. He's had this like it turns out, light spoilers for a stupid comedy. The gang goes to Ireland to explore their Irish roots, and Charlie finds his dad, who's played by Cole Meany, nice. Which is really fucking cool. And there's like this whole storyline about like Frank being scared that he's being alienated from Charlie, who's kind of become his real adopted son. And he's threatened by it, and he tries to make him eat turds. And they're, oh my God. Oh my. So, but there's this like at the very last episode, like Charlie has to comes to grips with like the way his father's let him down. And he has like this whole fucking emotional breakdown over it in the rain. And it's kind of amazing, in exactly the same way like Max interpretive dance coming out as gay was like, holy shit, I didn't know Always Sunny could was capable of something like that. But yeah, it's another, I don't think this is the strongest season, but everything from Ireland on was amazing. It was like a 3-episode arc of them going to Ireland, and it ended really well. And also it's tied up with my vast enjoyment of their podcast that they were recording while they're filming this season. So there's a lot of cool behind the scenes details. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Nice. I didn't watch much of any television during the break. I've been catching up on it slowly. Seen stuff that we'll talk about in OTC, like, you know, Peacemaker and Station 11 and all that stuff.
I did watch The Great season 2, which was very entertaining. It was highly, in fact, Cecily and I are probably going to be getting out in the next, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, another Huzzah collection, because we wrote down as we were going like what episode and what time code they all were. So Cecily just needs to go through, and I don't know if she'll still be interested in doing it, but we did the work to make it happen. But it's so much fun. Oh my God. Nicholas Holt. He's such a great, it's like, imagine if Joffrey, like at some point, like Sansa and Joffrey, you know, they get married like they do, and it's a horrible, and he's just cruel and he kills people. But like, imagine if there was like a little bit of charm and sex appeal and like you really got in the head of Joffrey and understood like how he got turned into the way he is, and like they're kind of redeeming this guy. Like, I couldn't believe the way they have like added layers and complexity to their relationship. And it's also, it's like, it's a comedy, so it's not nearly as like high stakes as Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But God, Nicholas Hoult, he just like runs away with this show. He's so fucking good at being this oblivious, cruel, capricious guy who's also like very likable. You know, everything's in Russia, so like baseline everything, you know, like that's what the story of Russian history is essentially, and then things got worse, and they kind of really lean into that, like her, you know, Catherine the Great's trying to do all these like reforms, like Enlightenment style reforms to Russia. She's trying to like, you know, elevate the serfs out of serfitude, and she's trying to, you know, make the ruling class a little bit better and reform the religion and get, and put science and reason to forefront. And she's getting massive resistance. And like some of the things that she tries to do, they're good, ends up backfiring in her face. Oh my God, they get Agent Scully, Gillian Anderson.
Yeah.
She plays Cat. She comes in to play her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And is just like crushes that role. She has like a 3-episode guest arc that's like amazing. The Great is great. If you want like some kind of light period piece comedy, if you're missing like the harlots kind of side, it's not even that dramatic. It's just a lot of fun and occasionally better than it has any right to be. I cannot wait for. I hope they can make another season. It's really good. It's on Hulu.
Nice.
I think that might be all the stuff that I wanted to talk about from, unless you, yeah. And we're about out of personal shit time. Cause I, the only thing we, the other thing I would like to do is maybe have a book club review of Children of Time sometime. Cause I know you finished that.
Oh, I did. That's the other, yeah, big thing that I finished.
Yeah.
I really like it.
We can talk about that on OTC. Okay. But yeah, let's move on to the people's cues. If you would like to send us comments, questions, topic suggestions, it's really easy to do so. You can either go to our Discord, discord.baldmove.com. If you're a patron, you automatically get granted access to the lunch thread. You just post stuff in the lunch channel. If you're a classic club member, you can go to forums.baldmove.com. Every Monday in the VIP section, there is a lunch thread posted that you can put your ideas down. And then if all else fails, go to Twitter.com/baldlunch. I'll pick it up and I'll read it and I'll see it. Okay, let's get into Little Big Cup. Says, I just bought a Street Fighter. Keep the video game talk going. I just bought a Street Fighter 2 arcade cabinet, and the memories of youth flooded back to me when I'm playing it. I would go down to a local arcade and spend hours there, as they were like 5 cents a game. You could play for nickels at this arcade.
What?
Where was this arcade when I was growing up?
Right.
Holy shit. What old games or video game experiences bring back that nostalgic feelings or joy of your youth?
I mean, as far as arcades go, it's definitely Mortal Kombat 2. That was the arcade I spent the most time with.
That was my Street Fighter 2, Mortal Kombat 2. Yeah. I've told this story many times, but I work paper goods and chemicals, and Walmart right next door was hardware, and me and the hardware guy were the same age, and we hit it off, and Walmart had a Mortal Kombat 2 cabinet, and this guy was aces at it.
Nice.
Like, he's one of those guys that could whip ass all comers for hours at a time, and I got, like, he kind of taught me the rules of the game, and every break we got, we'd go and spend a couple quarters up there. A lot of times I go to his house in Plainfield afterwards and play it on the Super Nintendo. Uh-huh. That does feel like being 16 again. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was awesome. I don't know. I have so many, like, my childhood revolved around video games, like, sure. And not even just childhood, like all the way up through my mid-20s, I'd say. Mm-hmm. I was a video game fiend. So obviously Counter-Strike. Anytime I play, especially playing with my brother, we would do, anybody who's played Counter-Strike has probably gotten bored with the main maps and has ventured into the sea of user-made maps. And there's one called Ice World. I think it's FYI Swirl.
But DE Dust has gotten stale?
a little bit, yeah. After the 4 millionth time you play it. That one also got stale. And I never tried 3. So, yeah, we'd go into Ice World, which is just basically a kill box. There are more kill boxy ones, but this one had a couple of pillars in the middle that you could strafe around and shoot each other from the other side of the map. And we would just do that. We would, like, one person would stand out in the center, looking straight down the tunnel toward the other end of the map, and the other person would jump through that corridor and try and shoot you before you shot them. So you were stationary, but they were moving, but you had the time to aim and prepare, and they didn't. So it was a ton of fun. And my brother and I would do that for hours. And anytime I think of Ice World, or like boot up Ice World for a second, that comes flooding back.
I as far as staying up arcade games, like there's a couple, like all the ones that were at the local Kroger's, and like I'd used to beg my mom for like a quarter, and she would like leave me up there, and I'd have a quarter or two, and I'd try to play these games, and usually I'd wipe out in the first 5 minutes, and I'd spend the rest of like the 20 minutes there just watching it in a track mode, or maybe hoping another kid to come up and play. Cause like, you know, it's like, that's the thing. Like, some of these things are like reading the JCPenney toy Christmas catalog. And like, these are just pour over for hours and imagining like all the things. It's such a weird way to live your life. But like
reading
the big games
Power.
I remember.
Yeah.
Oh shit, yeah, Nintendo Power. Oh my god, I can the smell. Yeah, the smell of a new Nintendo Power.
Totally.
I'm getting that again because I just on a whim I signed up for Games Workshop's White Dwarf, and every month.
Oh, nice.
Oh fuck. Every month I get one of these things, which is just like, you can't even see, it's like
essentially
White
a catalog.
Dwarf is,
oh
like a
yeah.
Ghost thing.
I didn't realize
no,
that.
No, it's not a catalog. It's just a whole bunch of like information on the world, and they've got like really cool artwork, and they've got like there's different sections, like for every, like if you play the game, if you read the novels, if you're into painting the minis, they got like, you know, tons of pages of like people better than you painting the minis and stuff. But yeah, like it's got, I noticed that like when I first opened the package, it's got that same Nintendo Power smell. That kind of like glossy magazine. It's like it's very nostalgic. But all those games from Kroger's, like Marble Madness. What was that? Iron Man off-road?
Oh, yeah. It's super off-road. It's super off-road racing. Ivan Iron Man Stewart or something like that.
Yeah. Yes. Marble Madness Gauntlet. The Superman arcade. Does
Dude, I was
going to
say that.
Arcade?
At the Pizza Hut. I don't know if it was in our hometown or if it was in California. I can't remember how long ago this was. But yes, that Superman arcade game is my version of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or the X-Men arcade. It's that Superman
and
one.
Kroger's had, I was with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. And the neat thing, so me and Jack just built an art. We didn't finish the arcade cabinet, but we got all the guts working. And we got this like nicely lit up 6-button joystick panel. And I played all those. And like the cool thing about it is like sometimes like Atari and like Commodore 64, especially computer game graphics, seem to age in dog years. But like Superman and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles looks exactly as good as I remember it.
Yeah.
Because it's all like really well done pixel art.
Running on dedicated like high end hardware from the time. Yeah.
But that fucking Superman game, it can't be canon because none of those enemies look, but like there's something really satisfying about just flying around and beating the shit out of, kicking the shit out of dudes and using your heat vision. That's a cool game. Those things all, like when I play them, like it is transporting me back in time.
Yeah, totally. One really cool experience I had, I can't remember if this was this had to be in California. I was too old to still be here and too young to have come back to Indy, to the Midwest. Did they have anything like this? I seem to recall you knowing what I was talking about, but there was a pizza place that in wherever I was that had a train that was set up to like deliver drinks around the edge of the restaurant. It would come by your table.
Yeah, it was called something Junction, like Pizza Junction or something.
Maybe I don't remember the name of it.
I definitely have memories of this place.
The same place also had like NESs at your table with like little screens
that
you could play. I don't know where this was. It must have been California. It must have been.
Yeah. I don't even remember that. But that was like, yeah, I definitely remember those.
Cecily's saying Pizza King had the train. Interesting. But yes, I remember going to a restaurant that had the train and the Nintendos at the table.
That was really cool. Oh, another one. Speaking of Spy Hunter is another one of those. Sure. There was the Mr. Gaddies in Martinsville had a Spy Hunter, and that dun 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 dun. As a kid that loved Knight Rider, like,
sure,
yeah, gadget cars and stuff.
Yeah, Spy Hunter was essentially Knight Rider, top down.
Yeah, with more twice as much machine gun and half as much molecular bonded armor, because goddamn that car was fragile.
Was it Round Table Pizza? It had to be Round Table Pizza then, if Gabe knows what I'm talking about.
Okay. I think there was a bunch of different types like that. I tried to find it and I couldn't find any, because I remember one called, like, there was like a pizza junction, and it had these trains would deliver your refills and your pizza, and they'd come by your table, and that was like kind of their gimmick. But I don't remember them having built-in Nesses. That'd be cool. Let's move on to the next topic, unless you got more nostalgia.
No, I'm good. I have plenty of other nostalgia things, but no.
Couch Potato Talk has some follow-up from the ORAB conversation we had last week. I'm from Sheldon, Iowa, a small town of 5,000 people, mentioned last week as having the worst mascot. The ORABs were pronounced, I found out, it's ORABs. The ORABs. We all agree with how silly it is. When I was a student there around 2007, someone even made a giant orange O mascot suit and tried embracing it. The suit was involved in a car accident and regretfully could never be worn again.
And
that's fucking grim.
Hmm.
They included a picture near their baseball fields of the what is it? The Orab.
I love the idea that they just gave up on the mascot. Well, it's in a car crash. Yeah, I guess that's
someone
the end
died
of the
in the suit. We couldn't spray the blood out of it. It's
we couldn't make a new suit. We couldn't do any of that. It's just done.
No. Here's a picture near the baseball fields. Every couple of years, a new generation of kids would discover covering part of the O with rocks would change it to the crabs. Crabs, honestly, better mascot. Better.
Yeah, they have the claws. I'm scared of them.
Yeah, they're orange and black, kinda. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah,
they're the crabs. They'll pinch you. A Turner says, I was receiving a shipment. Oh, this is an advice column kind of thing. I was receiving a shipment delivery from within my company the other day. The driver who was helping me unload is pretty friendly during the process. As we were wrapping up, he asked if someone specific worked at my location. I told him yes, and that she was a top leader at our store. He kind of got a far off look and said, oh, that's big. We used to talk. My eyes went wide at that specific phrasing, but I brushed it off. Right as he's leaving, he asked me if I would tell her hello for him. I said sure, and asked him if they would they used to work together or just like knew each other. He said distantly that they used to know each other. Now, my boss got married to her husband at 21. They've been together for 25 years. Her whole out-of-work life revolves around her family, and her husband also works for the company. I'm kind of torn on what to do. I'm also a female, and I'm just under her in our work structure, so I'm as close to a peer as she has. We have a pretty good working relationship and share some personal stuff, but she's also pretty guarded and likes to keep and set firm boundaries. I'm not one to make assumptions, but this guy's clearly giving a vibe that something possibly romantic happened between them. At first, I thought the whole thing was just kind of awkward and funny, and I was going to give her a hard time about it, but then I realized she could actually be pretty mortified about the whole ordeal. I'm leaning on never mentioning it to her, but I also know that if I had been almost any other employee in the store, they'd definitely start spreading gossip about it. I'm worried if I don't say anything, he may come back in another delivery and ask her about her again. Like, what's... Okay. My colleagues can be kind of ruthless, and I hate to put her through that. What do you think is the least dramatic thing for me to do? Probably not saying anything is the least dramatic thing, right?
Sure, but is that the best thing? Because... I don't know if there's like, I don't know how weird this guy was. I don't know like too much of the context here, but like, is there potential that there's going to be an encounter between them in the future? Because if so, I'd like her to be maybe prepared for that. So at least let her know that this guy is in her vicinity. And there That's might not be anything sinister here, right? I mean, it could just be, like, oh, yeah, we used to be friends, whatever. And
yeah, like, the guy's a friendly guy. He struck up a conversation with him. Like, if he imagine doing that for a couple of years.
Never even want to talk to her. Who knows? But, like, if there is an encounter in her future, it'd be nice for her to get a heads up on that, I think.
But as people point in chat, there's also opportunity for this to be creepy because, sure, you know, some guys will take a friendly relationship and then assume there's something else to it. And, mm-hmm, you know, because why would women be nice to me unless they want to get it in, you know, like that? It's a puzzle of the ages. I think there's a way you can say, because like you got a good point. Like, what if this guy ambushes her like out of nowhere and she doesn't know? Like, I mean, right, I think there's a way with a neutral look on your face. So like, hey, I was talking to so-and-so unloading the truck and he just said hi. And then that, like, don't be like, yeah, and he said hi, wubba wubba wooga wooga. Don't right, wiggle your eyebrows. Just like present it with the information. Don't be like, did you know him? Or like, I think if you said that, that would, she can take that for what it is. She can be like forewarned because this guy is a creep and she needs to like be on, maybe talk to HR about it, or maybe, you know, I don't know.
At least it alerts her to this guy being in her orbit, whatever that means to her, right? Whether she'll be happy about that or terrified or what. I do think, yeah, there's value in just knowing that this guy is around, whoever he is.
But I'm also a big believer in following your gut on these type of situations. And if your gut is flashing alarm bells about this being a confrontation or something, then exactly, what the thing to do is just don't say anything. And when he comes back and it's like, hey, did you talk to Deandra for me or whatever her name is? You can be like, ah, it slipped my mind. And you just keep saying that until he drops it or until he confronts you. And then if he confronts you about it, then you probably know he's got a problem and you can deal with it appropriately. But like, yeah, like that's, I think people get gripped up in those situations because they're like, oh my God, I said that I'd do this to a stranger and I haven't done it. Oh my God. But like, you don't owe that guy fucking anything. You don't even owe him the truth. So just like, you know, like, I forgot. I slipped my mind. Just like, whatever. I mean, you could trigger the conversation, but like, no, you give me bad. But yeah, like you're looking for the least dramatic thing, not the most dramatic. So
yeah.
Anyway, hope that helps.
I don't know.
Let's move on to D, our old pal D from Australia. Have you guys watched Yellow Jackets? I feel like this is another Stranger Things-esque sleeper. It's getting more and more word of mouth, and it's going to be a huge going into season two. Someone told me to watch it, and I thought it was just going to be some CW teeny bopper Riverdale kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's like Lord of the Rise. Lord of the Rise.
The bread making show, Lord of the Rise,
the biscuit maker, Lord of the Flies meets Lost meets Riverdale. If it had better writers,
Lord of the Flies meets Lost meets Riverdale. Wow,
I'm thinking Al and Joe have big potential for the show. I keep on hearing about this, weird cannibal cheerleader show, and I'm like, I didn't take it, but then I heard that it had like Christina Ricci in it.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the other? There's another big person in it too that I meet like, oh wow, yeah, they do cool stuff
of the same era too, right? Like,
yeah, because it is like it's like this like set in the 90s, teenage girls kind of crash a plane in a like desolate place, I think, and then in 2020 their older selves dealing with the fallout of everything they went through. Juliette Lewis is one of the other ones.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm not inherently interested in the topic when I kept hearing, oh, it's this like cheer squad thing. But if it's more than meets the eye, maybe I would be interested. I mean, shit, I watched Glow, which I really enjoyed, even though I'm not a wrestling fan. And that's just like a total girl power show, which I enjoyed it for. But I like Jinji Cohen stuff typically.
Oh, right. She was behind that. Mm-hmm. I keep hearing, like you said, I keep on hearing more and more. This Yellow Jackets buzz keeps rising. So I'm not opposed to checking out. It's all about, you know, the time. Because like every fucking time I turn around, like I was like, this Peacemaker thing's the dumbest shit ever. I watched the first episode. And I'm like, I'm going to watch all of this, of course.
Right.
Station 11 came out of nowhere. Like there's like 30, there's like 20 hours of television on my plate that I had no idea was going to be a thing in December 1st. Right.
Right. Yeah. There's so much good television, so much of it.
Michelle from California says, let's say that by some random act of fate, you were able to choose different showrunners or writers for the following shows. Who would you choose? Mad Men, The Leftovers, Breaking Bad, The Deuce, and Fargo. Have a great weekend. Like,
you can't just throw that bomb and then say have a great weekend and bounce.
Hard.
Come on.
This is hard.
If I replace the showrunner of Mad Men, oh God, I don't know anybody else who could do that show. It's,
I will say that Wiener's star is a little tarnished after the Romanoff bullshit. So yeah. I'm wondering, like, how much of that was him versus how much of it was the writers and actors. It would be interesting. God, who of the, I'm going to just do a switcheroo. Like, what would David Simon's take on Mad Men be?
Oh, that would be interesting. It'd be much more serious, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Although The Deuce is funny and The Wire is funny. Like, and Mad Men is fun. Like, in its little, I bet there wouldn't be mystical song and dance numbers, which would be probably a poor version of the show. The Leftovers. Who the fuck do you get to do The Leftovers aside from Damon Lindelof?
I don't know, man. That's such a uniquely Lindelof show. Like, Lindelof has a stamp that he puts on all his shows, and there's nothing else like it.
It would be interesting to see. You know what? I guess it'd be interesting Noah Hawley on Mad Men, too, because he would do those, like, you know, Flights of Fancy and, you know, ghost tap dancing thing stuff. He would do those upright.
I could maybe see, like, a. Shit, is it Terrence Winter? Is that the guy who did Boardwalk Empire?
Yep.
I could see him on Breaking Bad, maybe.
Graham Yost would be an interesting take on Breaking Bad, too, because Justified and Breaking Bad have a lot of the same. I know it's not like it's a cops and robbers versus meth versus cops or whatever, but like if you've seen them both, you can kind of see like there's a through line of sensibilities and stuff that I think would work, would be an interesting kind of like mirror match there.
I guess there's like two ways to approach it, right? You could say, okay, who would be the best fit for what the show is, or who would change the show in interesting ways, right?
Yeah. I don't know what a more interesting version of Leftovers looks like, or like a more interesting version of Breaking Bad. It's tough. I mean, this is like a question of like, okay. You get to change the reigning superstar of its sport, like Serena Williams in tennis and fucking Tom Brady in football and whoever, Slugger McGee in baseball and like, what the fuck? Like, that's a hard question to ask. Like, who, you know, like you got some guys like LeBron who he'd probably be good at anything. Like, imagine LeBron is a fucking tight end. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. How do you cover that guy? Or like, it's a goalie in soccer. But like others, it's like, man, I don't know what Serena Williams would look like on the gridiron. Probably she'd get hurt, but maybe she'd be the best linebacker of all time. I don't know.
David Lynch for The Leftovers. Ugh.
Yeah, that no, definitely would change things for Jim.
It sure would. David Lynch on any of these projects would change them for the worse.
I gotta say, Lynch, I can see Lynch doing a lot of this. Like, Lynch would do a pretty bang up job in the Mad Men. It'd be a different, weirder Mad Men, but that's like kind of heading towards his vibe. David Lynch breaking David Lynch for all of these. Yeah, I want to see him do all of them. Fargo, David Lynch Fargo. Holy shit.
Yeah. What's the guy that successfully sued AMC over The Walking Dead? Bring him in for one of these shows. Frank Darabont.
Savinston says, I know you guys have seen the god level trolling by Keon Alexander, Marco Inaros of Carrageese Kamina Drummer on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen enough of the memes to know to get the sentiment. Yeah, it's like,
yeah, like he photoshops
landlubber essentially.
Yeah, like a PETA poster to make it like, you know, you gotta adopt this wayward pet of the inners, and it's like really funny. I think it's been pretty funny shit. Yeah. Like him just embracing what a heel he is publicly.
Uh-huh.
It got me thinking of other potentially amazing troll jobs it could have been. Can you imagine how glorious it would have been to have Alistair Thorne trolling Lord Snow via tweets from the wall? Can you think of another pairing like this from any movie or TV show that would have been amazing? I've got one.
Okay.
Michael Ginsburg versus Don Draper.
Okay, yeah.
Like Ginsburg's just obsessed and like just tweet sniping and Don, yep. and Don just, I don't even know did you exist, buddy. Like that would be so fucking funny.
Yeah, I mean, and Pete and Don will be great too. Sure,
Pete and Don would be great. Yeah. Or Pete and Lane Price.
Oh God.
You grimy, the and Pete's handles at grimy little pimp.
Oh, I forgot about that moniker.
Hashtag
that's great.
Grimy little pimp.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. I'd like to see that. Michael Ginsburg versus Don Draper. I'm sure there'd be tons of others.
Ah, Gnarl says Jimmy trolling Howard Hamlin on.
Oh
Better
my God. Yes.
Dude.
Machine Gun Jimmy with a Twitter account? Right. Get out of here. Get out of here. That's a thread winner right there.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to Sammy Oliveau. Oliveau, yeah. I know this is probably too early, but do you guys plan to cover The Rings of Power, which is the official title we got yesterday for the Amazon Lord of the Rings TV series? And what's the expectation of the show for you guys?
Yeah, I saw the teaser, the pouring of the ring juice. That's what it's called, right? That's what they make
Pure
rings
Valencia.
Out of. Yeah.
Pulp free.
Yeah, we're absolutely going to cover it. Absolutely. Day one cover.
Yes. Expectations? Boy, this is rough. These are guys that have no show running experience getting thrown to this deep, beloved. I mean, this isn't a beloved story. It's a derivation, like a prequel to a beloved story. And my biggest question is, how are they going to make this interesting over the course of the series? They're going to have to really pump up the relationships, but also Tolkien fans don't like a lot of melodrama and like shipping and romance and stuff. So like, I don't have super high hopes, but it's going to be a day one cover because it's so popular. I've got a lot of affection for the material. I spent my high school years reading the Silmarillion. Why else if not to do this show? but I kind of think it's going to be a bit of a train wreck.
Oh boy.
And it's not going to make anybody happy.
I don't know. I'm in it because, yeah, of course it's going to be a day one cover for us because you love it. I love the movies, but I haven't read the source material that a lot of this is going to be based on. So what
I'm
looking for out of it is to tell a story that's coherent enough for a new Lord of the Rings fan to get on board with and exciting enough. And if they can't do that, if they just lean into like, hey, this is a Lord of the Rings show, and Lord of the Rings fans are going to love it no matter what, then I won't be on board. But we'll see. I'll give it a
shot.
Well,
that's the problem with the Silmarillion is it's like I said, it's like very Old Testament Bible. It's very poetic. It's very symbolic. It's very creation mythy. It's, you know, like a lot less grounded because like most of the magic had drained out of the world by the time you get into the end of the Third Age. And so, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of it was just like hobbits are, you know, very relatable and, you know, men declining and fretting about their decaying empires. Super relatable. If every character is like an immortal elf or angelic being and every bad guy is like a demon put into flesh, like I don't know. There are some big like world like, you know, like there's a lot of like pathos and like the seduction of the various races by Sauron, the fall of the country of Numenor and the splitting of men into kind of like the evil ones that want to maintain their immortality forever and power forever versus the ones that are kind of more humble before the god. But like, how does that translate into like just week to week drama? And I feel like Wheel of Time is a good reference because that is so much like Tolkien and is so much big high fantasy, and from what I hear it really struggled to kind of maintain an even kind of tone through it that you don't have to worry about in a movie, you know, like Lord of the Rings are like 10 hours and they're done.
Yeah.
And you've told a whole fucking story from beginning to end. You know, if you want to have 3 or 4 or 5 seasons, I don't know what that looks like. I really don't. But I'm curious to see either way. It'll mm-hmm. either be a train wreck or it'll be a hit. And it'll be fun to cover either way. Another one on what we're doing. Jabbed says, any thoughts or plans for Raised by Wolves? Would you talk about it on OTC?
We did. A couple of times.
I never finished the first season and I didn't like it. I thought it had a lot of promise, and then like every episode I saw made me like it less and less. So probably not. Although I will hear that it like has a lot of potential, and if I did hear, hear that season two is like a justified season two, it would probably bring me back in because I love science fiction.
And I think the world building that they did do was kind of cool. I sort of liked all that stuff. It's just, it was the details, right? It wasn't, the bigger picture stuff was fine. It was just the details of it didn't hook me. So, I don't know.
C-Drive said, did you see Bezos standing next to that wood, the wood low? There's a lot of Gollum jokes. Because he's kind of crouching in a thinking man's pose above it. And it's just, yeah. Like two shades wider and worse teeth. And he's pretty much there. Dennis says, Aaron, is there a mod pizza near you? It's worth looking up. I think this is related to the poll I pulled on Twitter. I said best because like we just had Domino's, and Domino's was like the shit tier, like the bottom of the shit tier when I was growing up. And then they had these commercials that were like, hey, we're not shit anymore. We got a new crust and a new sauce. And me and Cecily tried it. I'm like, you know what? This is good shit tier pizza. It's not okay. The best pizza, but like if you go to a city, it's reliably good, you know? Pizza Hut, I noticed when I was watching the Colts shit the bed and watching the playoff games, they're now running an aggressive campaign about like Pizza Hut's back. No one out pizzas the Hut. We've changed shit up and we're good shit tier. I ran a poll because I'm like, fuck, maybe Pizza Hut's on top again. 38% of the Bald Move audience that follows me prefers Domino's. 28% prefer Pizza Hut. Little John's 24%, well, Papa John's 24%, and then Little Caesar trailing at the 11% mark. So my mind wasn't made up. I don't think Mod Pizza is shit tier pizza. Mod Pizza is like fast casual, like Chipotle. It's the Chipotle of pizzas.
And
it's
like the mushroom. Bad. What's Magic Mushroom Pizza? Is that the name of the place?
It's wood fired, but it's like on a conveyor, but like it's like on a conveyor belt thing. So it's very automated, but you get you go in there and you just order custom pizzas. There's like 20 different options that are named, but you can do whatever you want.
Gotcha.
It's pretty good. Feels healthy. It's all right. They don't deliver though. I feel like, you know, that's the whole like shit tier quality of it is like you got to be able to pick up a phone and have it in your hands 20 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine pizza, though. Steve Ott says, happy lunch, fellas. I wrote in a few weeks ago asking if you'd heard of The Hum because a mysterious hum was keeping me awake at night. I have an update on the situation. The police raided our extremely quiet next door neighbor's house due to them running a massive illegal weed farm. They seized well over 100 plants and arrested a guy. So the chances that mysterious hum were some sort of weed growing apparatus is definitely not zero.
Awesome.
This makes a lot of sense because back in the day, I knew a guy who ran a couple of in the sticks of Indiana whole house weed grow operations. Like, what was one of his family members owned the house? No one lived there, and like, all the basement and first floor were just like, and when you got within like 15-20 feet, you could hear an audible hum because those like, what they call like high pressure sodium lights. I forget what their name. They're like those stadium lights at the, which was what they were using to do this. And the cooling apparatus was just fucking loud. So like, it kind of felt like the zzz, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
you had a giant grow op right next door. You never knew.
And I like to think that you can just extrapolate that countrywide and say that probably everybody who's hearing the hum is living next to a grow op.
We've cracked the case. We cracked the case. So don't if you got the hum, don't snitch. this is a sad story, though, right? Because every time I hear it's like this, like, I, you know, like, look, you know, it's illegal and all that, but this isn't like a Mexican cartel running around cutting people's heads off. Like, he's, you know, I feel bad. I feel bad that someone's going to do serious prison time, most likely, for this. In the same way that, like, I felt if I was back in the 20s, I'd feel bad for the dudes running around trying to make moonshine and evading the revenuers, you know, like, fuck those guys. My biggest regret is losing a very quiet neighbor, but on the plus side, I got to chatting with another neighbor because of the gossip, and now my wife and I are going to play a round of board games this weekend.
Nice.
Drugs really do bring people together, he says. Yeah, I feel bad for this guy who got busted though. Yeah, what are you gonna do? I'm trying to see. I was reading through the thing to see like if they gave like a street value of the house. But anyway, interesting. So yeah, if you've got the hum,
Should name the strain of weed the hum.
The hum.
Yeah. Whatever they're producing there, just name it the hum.
Yeah. Yeah. I always wondered, like, because, like, the other thing is this house, he showed me a couple of them. We went out for a country ride and looked at them. And the place also, as soon as you walk through the door, just punches you in the face with the weed smell. Like, I don't know how you sell this house. I know that weed smell doesn't necessarily permeate things, but, like, I think it would permeate this. Mm-hmm. Like, the insulation, the carpet, the drywall. It's just, like, it's kind of like a meth house. Like, how would you ever unload it? Maybe they never were going to. I don't know.
Yeah.
Flash Gordon from the UK says, hey guys, last week you got a question about being grateful for not living in a medieval hellscape, which is understandable. But if you could take 1 month tour in any age, in any place with no consequences or risk death, where would you travel in time back to? I think for Aeron, it'd be 9th century Age of Sail, but who knows? Maybe like the Vini, Vidi, Vici, along with Julius Caesar, if there were no risk.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like the Renaissance era. Just go to Italy during the Renaissance era. That'd be really cool. Like, I'm not thinking, oh, I'll meet Da Vinci or anything, but just seeing what life was like for those people then who were making that great art.
I always like the idea of looking at truly ancient civilizations like Rome at its height. Like, what did like standing in the middle of Rome look like in the first century? Like, what a bustling metropolis with all of the public works, all that marble shiny and new and a lot of it painted. I think about like what it would look like to go like at the Incan Empire at its height. Mm-hmm. Like Mexico City had 1 million people living in it. In the Enlightenment era of Europe, what did the ancient Egypt look like at like mm-hmm. the height of Ramses II, where you had those pyramids used to be covered in limestone with solid gold caps at the top, and they were like described as like blindingly white in the sun, you know. And like there again, like all those things used to be like the Sphinx used to be painted, and you know, it's like we got this idea of like classical antiquities and stuff that everything was like, you know, like these solid marble stuff. Nah, shit, all that stuff was painted and looked different and cool. And like, just again, like, what did these ancient civilizations? Because we've got this idea that like, you know, we've got everything figured out, we got indoor plumbing, but like a lot of these places were pretty cosmopolitan. I think, like, what would it be like to go to a market in ancient Egypt? What would it be like to go to a clothes store in Rome? Like, I bet, like, if you knew the languages and stuff, it would feel a lot more cosmopolitan than you'd think.
Yeah, probably.
The other thing is, like, Dan Carlin's always saying, is like, he would love to have a time machine and, like, a helicopter to, like, look over an ancient battle. Because I'm also curious about that. Like, what did it look like when, like, 20,000 Assyrians threw down against 30,000 Macedonians?
Yeah,
like with
hand to hand
and chariots with like blades on them and war elephants and the tortoise formations and all that shit. Like that would be some wild shit, man. Didn't someone in lunch, they talked about like what it would be wild, it'd be just be hacked apart in a battle. Like, yeah, like what did those things actually look like? I think that would be interesting. On a down note, I've had some notable deaths today. Jabbed says, woke up this morning, says, happy Friday, fellas. RIP to the multi-talented singer, songwriter, music producer, stage, screen, and film actor, Michael Lee Addy, a.k.a. Meatloaf. Yeah. I didn't know much about a day's early life and career, so I did some light reading on his Wikipedia page, and all I have to say is this dude had a singular career, which I don't think we'll ever see the likes of again. Two things I learned about him from his wiki page. He once broke his leg stage diving during a show and finished his tour in a wheelchair. he'd do anything for love. Except for have his bones intact.
I was going to say, it's a damn shame that he's been reduced to, but I won't do that. Like, that's kind of his career That feels like everything I know about Meatloaf in a nutshell. It's just
people are saying his name is Robert Paulson. I don't know. I don't care. He's Meatloaf. I'm reading here what Jabbed has to say. He also apparently is a vegetarian from 1981 to 92. So that's ironic in a couple levels. A guy named Meatloaf is a vegetarian. Number two, why would you, if you go 11 years as a vegetarian, what makes you change?
I don't know. Maybe he tripped in the kitchen one day and accidentally landed on a meatloaf and said, damn, that's really good. And like took a couple bites of it. And then it was just like, look what I've been missing my whole last 11 years. I don't know, man. That is weird.
And then the other one you mentioned, because I when I was compiling feedback, I'm like, holy fuck, Meatloaf died. And you said, also, who else died today?
Louis Anderson. And he wasn't
Louis
super
Anderson,
old.
Yeah. 68, died of blood cancer.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ouch. So, I guess this is a flat. This they're referring to. I think is real. They're referring to his Fight Club character, which.
Oh.
I mean, bitch tits. That's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
The man's dead. Show some decorum. Just because the meatloaf expired doesn't mean that we have to throw out all of our decency when we're talking about the serious subject, guys. Come on. No, it's so weird because like I don't know that like because Meatloaf is like throughout his whole career has been like right there between the edge of like camp and like mm-hmm. seriousness and rock ballads and like just threading that it's weird. It's a weird, interesting career. And yeah, I don't know how anybody that looks like that and sings the songs he did like that niche is gone. Like rock is dead. Is rock dead?
Rock's pretty much dead. Yeah. Pop killed
There's
it.
Some like. Yeah, there's some you can use. There's still some sort of thriving communities and metal and different variants of that. But like as a pop culture phenomenon, it pains me to say, but I feel like rock and roll is dead.
And like pop culture does not revolve around rock, not even close anymore. It did in the 90s, but that's all gone. The boy bands.
I think it could come back. But like right now, it's all rap, R&B, mm-hmm. pop.
Country,
K-pop, country. Although, goddamn, speaking of a creatively banked like pop culture, country,
or even that's crossing over, right? I heard a fucking, I was listening to the radio, big mistake, the other day. Uh-huh. And I heard a country song that had a rapper in it, and I'm like, that just blew my mind. It blew my mind. Like it was a hip hop country crossover.
What do you think? Do you think Imagine Dragons is rock music? I guess it is.
It is. Yeah, and I don't hate Imagine Dragons. I think they have some good songs.
Sure.
Some interesting music, and I think they're some pretty good musicians. But yeah, it's a different kind of rock, sure, but it's rock.
Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus is rock, right? That's like country R&B. Yeah. Oh, then that might be just another like rap country crossover. Yeah.
Billy Ray Cyrus is still making music.
Well, there was a whole story with Lil Nas X like doing the Old Town Road, and it was a hit. Mm-hmm. And then everyone found out he was a gay black man, and then people like started shunning him. And then Billy Ray Cyrus did a cover with him, and then that got it on the. There's a whole fucking story behind it.
Mm.
But yeah, that was like, I guess Old Town Road is the Walk This Way of this generation. Like it broke down to a barrier between two genres that hadn't been broken down before.
Gotcha.
Because there was like I like the rap metal shit, the new metal shit that was like I thought some of that stuff, like I don't know about Limp Bizkit, but
yeah, like a Linkin Park is pretty good.
I fucking
good, yeah.
Love Linkin Park. Linkin Park's crossover with Jay-Z is still like, I think those are my favorite version of those Jay-Z songs and my favorite version of those Linkin Park songs. Was that Collision Course?
Yeah, they did some great stuff.
God damn, that version of Big Pimpin'. Ooh, so good. So good.
I'll admit to being a 311 fan. I don't give a shit.
Fuck yeah.
I like 311.
Nothing wrong with being a 311 fan.
Limp Bizkit, I've always hated. But, yeah.
Yeah, Limp Bizkit, you know. I'm not saying like I definitely banged my head a couple of times to some of their tunes when they came on the radio, but I never owned a Limp Bizkit album.
Yeah.
I did own plenty. I owned several. I think I owned all of 311's collection as of like the late 90s.
Yeah.
And I was definitely big into Linkin Park, Stained. They're not like rappers, I guess, but
311 band that did All Mixed Up.
We need some kind of rock back in our life. Imagine Dragons is needs to turn up the rock a bit if they're going to, you know.
Did rock die with? Did Nickelback take rock down? Did rock die with Nickelback?
They might have.
I think that's what killed it.
Yeah, they're like, this is what it's become. Then, you know, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
Tommy says we just discovered 311 is official band of Bald Move. Maybe.
Might be.
It was definitely big. Right up there in my mid to late teenage years. I really like those dudes. Okay. We have about 10 minutes left, but I don't mind ending a little bit early. We got a bunch of stuff to do.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be a lunch next week. Again, I think there'll be two more weeks of lunches, and then there'll be a week gap when... No, there'll be one more. There'll be two. There'll be next week's and then the Groundhog Day Eve marathon lunch. And then Jim's taking a week off, so there won't be a lunch after that. So... you got some burning questions. Get them off your chest in the next 2 weeks, as there'll be a lunch drought for a week. Yeah, thanks for being a club member, whether you're doing it through the classic way or the patron. We really appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you. We're excited about Groundhog's Day. As soon as the Groundhog's Day is over, we're going to kick off the Baldies. Did we talk about this on lunch last week? That we've moved the Baldies to March.
Talked about it somewhere.
I might have been on a stream to compete head to head with the Oscars. We're taking down the fraudulent Academy. They're unaccountable bullshit. No deliberations. They don't record it. They don't want you seeing. They don't want you seeing the backdoor shenanigans going on at the Oscars.
And it would just
be transparent.
Like, what is the sound of a lot of $100 bills being pulled off a stack? Like, that's all the podcast would be. Come on, we all know it.
I think it sounds something like. Yeah, just paper rubbing together.
For all you podcasters listening, Aaron has a legitimate stack of $100 bills next to him, and he just pulled like six of them off it. Holy shit, man.
2021 is a pretty good year. Yeah, I just got Scrooge McDuckin' it over here. In fact, I got rid of my my steel case chair. I'm just sitting on a throne made of stacks. It's not comfortable, but boy, does it feel good.
Oh, yeah. Watch out for those silverfish.
I've been spraying. Good. I've been spraying because you can't let the silverfish get to them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week. Don't forget Cinematic Sunday. This week we're going to be watching Midsommar. I have seen it. Jim has not. It's a weird little cult horror movie, and it should be a lot of fun because I'm going to kind of roast it. I don't think super highly of it, and I think it's silly at the end. But we'll see. Lots of cool stuff coming out at baldmove.com. Thank you again for your support. Everyone stay safe and warm this weekend, and we'll see you back next week. Later, everybody.
See you.